This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
17 minutes past five.
World Cup teams were forced to back down this week and abandon plans for their captains to wear protest armbands amid FIFA's threat of on-field punishment for players. The captains of several European nations had vowed to wear armbands carrying the heart-shaped rainbow logo of the One Love campaign, which promotes inclusion and diversity. Since being awarded the World Cup hosting rights in 2010, Qatar has faced a barrage of criticism. Why is the Qatar FIFA World Cup so controversial? Well, Daryl Adair, Associate Professor of Sport Management at the University of Technology in Sydney, joins us. Daryl, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thank you, Em.
Thanks so much for joining us. Let's go back to 2010, Daryl. How did Qatar end up winning the rights to host the FIFA World Cup?
Well, if you read what the New York Times investigation has suggested, it's all to do with money.
Okay.
And that some of the executives were, in fact, persuaded to vote that way. I mean, if you look at the other bid hosts at the time, you had Japan, South Korea, Australia, the United States, and then you had Qatar, and nobody really gave it a chance because it didn't have stadium infrastructure. It had really hot weather. And it really didn't have a pedigree in terms of international football. So it was indeed a surprise when they were chosen.
Daryl, why was, just on the hot weather, Qatar was able to move their games to their winter, which isn't aligned, you know, to the European schedule of football?
Well, it's unprecedented. And it really came because a lot of the scientists warned FIFA that athletes would essentially pass out if they were expected to play in average temperatures in their summer of 40 degrees Celsius. And so reluctantly, really, FIFA then went back to other organisations like UEFA and said, look, you know, we've endorsed the World Cup for Qatar, but it has special circumstances. We really now need to move your usual schedule to accommodate the World Cup in the Middle East winter. They weren't happy about it, as you can imagine.
Daryl, Qatar is known to be quite hostile to the LGBTQIA+ community as well. So why would FIFA award them the World Cup knowing that fact?
Yeah, it's a great question. In fact, back in 2010, when bids were put in place, there was, in fact, nothing in the bid documents expected around human rights or even in terms of workplace safety, which is another issue in Qatar. And it was really only after Qatar was awarded the World Cup for 2022 that critics really ramped up pressure on FIFA and said, look, this isn't good enough. And FIFA ultimately made some changes. In 2013, it introduced a statement that, you know, same-sex attracted people should not be discriminated against. And in 2017, it introduced its first human rights policy, which in addition was intended to protect workers. But none of this was retrospective. Now, FIFA could have gone in and tried to institute changes in both Russia and Qatar, and they were similar in that they were hostile to LGBTQI communities, but it chose not to.
But Daryl, just given that, you know, FIFA has made these changes since, as we mentioned in the introduction, you know, they also made threats to players, you know, who want to wear the rainbow-coloured heart armband. What sort of threats did FIFA make to them?
Yeah, they basically inferred that players could be given yellow cards on the field. So, I mean, that's a extreme penalty because obviously as an athlete, you go to the World Cup in order to perform, you represent your country. If you get a yellow card and then, say, an innocuous tackle in another game, you're red carded and you're out of the tournament. So it's a very very serious penalty, really, dangling over players who wanted to wear the armbands. Now, what FIFA has allowed is what they call a no-discrimination armband. But what that actually means is really anybody's guess, because it doesn't actually specify anything. But the One Love armband had a specific meaning around same-sex attracted people and similar communities. And, you know, some of the world's biggest players, like Harry Kane from England, was determined to wear it. And unfortunately now, he has regrettably said, look, I'm going to have to bow down to FIFA's pressure. So FIFA has, in fact, amplified the situation when it didn't need to.
So what is in this instance where they're saying, okay, you can't wear the rainbow armband, what is FIFA worried about? I mean, the World Cup is underway at the moment. It's not exactly going to be cancelled or anything. What are they worried about by players wearing a rainbow armband? What damage can it do to FIFA that they're so concerned?
It's a great question. I don't have an answer other than a guess. If you look at what Qatar has already done since the World Cup began, it's now cancelled the availability of a beer around stadiums. So Budweiser is set up. It's beer stalls around the eight stadiums, and then the Qatari royal family, as I understand it from press reports, put pressure on the Qatari organisers, and a decision was made, no, they're going. And so FIFA was put in this embarrassing position where it sort of said, oh, okay, right, we don't like this. And in fact, what Budweiser is doing now is seeking financial compensation from FIFA as a consequence. So my guess is that FIFA is under pressure from the Qataris. Perhaps other things might happen if they don't play ball in terms of what the Qatar royal family is expecting.
Right. We're chatting with Daryl Adair, Associate Professor of Sports Management at the University of Technology in Sydney, about why Qatar FIFA World Cup is so controversial. Daryl, you wrote an article in The Conversation and you mentioned that in February 2021, an investigation by The Guardian estimated that there were around 6,500 workplace fatalities. Were these people working on the construction of the game facilities?
Not necessarily. So not necessarily on stadiums, but there's an incredible infrastructure development that's taking place in and around Doha, within which the World Cup precinct is a key part. Now, that Guardian investigation tracked workplace deaths over 10 years between 2012 and 2022. And it estimates there were 6,500. And while all of them were not necessarily on the stadiums, they were on associated things like, you know, the metro railway and, you know, and similar forms of transport infrastructure. And some of it isn't just, you know, an accident where somebody falls off a piece of equipment and unfortunately passes away. Some of this, according to their investigations, is to do with workplace heat. And so people essentially working in incredible temperatures for very long hours and, in fact, passing away on the job.
Daryl, so do you think like this World Cup at the moment has potentially tarnished FIFA's reputation for the long term, particularly, you know, based on their actions, and also, I guess, particularly for, you know, the inclusiveness of professional sport?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Look, on the one hand, I think FIFA's exhausted from the criticism it's faced. It'll face much less next time around in 2026 because the next hosts, which are Mexico and North America, have been required to go through a bidding process in which human rights are a core part. So in the sense of going forward, FIFA will be subject to less criticism. However, there's also I guess the question is, do enough fans really care about FIFA and about the issue you just discussed? I mean, one of the great contradictions of not just football but sport generally is that on the one hand, there's tremendous efforts to be inclusive on the part of sport organisations and many leading athletes, but the fans are divided. And so you have some in which they find sport is now a more welcoming place, but you have some countries and some environments in which they use, in this case football, to use homophobic chants and so on. So this is not a kind of a simple matter, and the fact that FIFA hasn't shown leadership on this at this World Cup and has really just kind of succumbed to what the Qataris want in terms of the, you know, the symbolic armband, isn't a good sign really for the way in which this sport should be more inclusive.
Absolutely. It definitely highlights a bigger issue.
Yes, it does. And the other thing, of course, you might imagine that given all the controversy, sponsors would have pulled out or, you know, really threatened FIFA. Mm. I mean, the Budweiser example is one in which obviously, you know, they can't sell their beer. And in fact, but they're trying to turn it into a promotional activity whereby they're going to give away the beer to the winning country, as I understand it, and they'll get their money back, hopefully, from FIFA. But beyond that example, there's a whole range of other sponsors who haven't blinked. You know, in fact, all of the sponsor positions, if you like, have been filled. And so they want their pound of flesh, the sponsors. So, you know, there's a lot of talk that, you know, many of our leading corporations have now become more woke, shall we say, and more sensitive to being inclusive, to understand human rights. But if you look at the bevy of sponsors who've hung tough with FIFA for this World Cup, it just makes me pretty sceptical, to be honest.
Daryl, super important conversation. Thanks for having it with us on Joy Drive.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Daryl.
That's Daryl Adair, Associate Professor of Sports Management at the University of Technology in Sydney.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.